بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. يقول الإمام رحمه الله: كتاب الصلاة, the book of prayer or chapter of prayer. After we spoken about the condition of at-tahara, the purity, and we went into details about the purity and the tahara, we finished with the chapter of al-hayd and al-nufasa, al-hayd wa al-nifas, and we finished from them. Now we go into another important major chapter, which is would take us probably till the end of the year by the time we finish it, which is kitab al-salat. Kitab al-salat, ya ikhwa, as everything in the fiqh, is based on principles. Understanding those principles, you'll understand the issues of salat. It is unbelievable the mistakes people do in the salat. And wallahi, ya ikhwa, if somebody spends 1 year, once a week, an hour a week, learning about how to perform the salat, somebody would say, ya Shaykh, what do you mean how to perform the salat? We all know how to perform the salat. It's easy to perform the salat. Naam, it's easy if you learn it in 1 day. How to make to pray with the sunnah and everything, you can finish it in 1 hour and a half and done. But ya shorter, if you make a mistake, what's going to happen? The time of the salat, what happens? This is where the problem is. When you come and pray behind the imam and the imam is in ruku'ah, what do you do? And what do you do after if he's in sujood? And how many you missed? And if the imam made a mistake and you didn't, do you follow him or not? Or if you made a mistake and the imam didn't? And so on. All these issues you need to know so your salat can be correct. You prayed fard before its time. What happened to that salat? And you remembered halfway. These issues are important. Before you give the second taslima, you lost your wudu. Do you have to repeat the salat, or are you still within the salat? So all these matters are relating to salat. And ya akhi, ifham something, understand something, that the performance of the salat is very important to be done correctly. Why? Because this is the most important ibadah. Most important, and I say most important, it is the most important ibadah. There is no ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered in the heavens except the salat. Nothing. Not even the jihad. There's no ibadah like it. That's why we say, and you would learn, it is a matter can be decisive between Islam and kufr, according to some ulama, and we'll speak about that in details inshallah. Understand the point. The salat is a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salat is talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salat should be in the life of the Muslim the most important thing. The salat, you're supposed to weep and wail on yourself if you skip it or you miss one salat. It should be in your heart a janazah. There's some companions, they've never seen the back of anyone in the salat. You know what that means? They're always in the front row. There's some companions, they're always in the front row. And one of them said, I've never seen in the salat the back of anyone except the imam. Why? The salat. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith to the meaning that we mentioned, whomever asbagh al-wudu, whoever does the wudu properly. But why doing the wudu properly? What does it say doing the wudu properly? You are trying to, when you're doing the wudu, preparing yourself. It's like when you wear your uniform, you're preparing yourself for work. Anyone who's outside the uniform, if he's an IT, or let's say if he's a mechanic, if he's outside the uniform, probably doesn't want to even touch a car, but when he puts the uniform on, all of a sudden he becomes good at what he's doing. Why? Because he's in the environment. Now, when you made your wudu, you're already putting yourself in the environment. Some of the wisdom of the sunnah before the salat, what are you trying to do? You're trying to warm up before you get into the salat. If you are in a gym, there are some warm-ups before, otherwise you rip your muscles. That's what they say. I don't know. I'm jahil in that. But that's what they say. You have to train a little bit, warm up a little bit before you get into the salat. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, apart from the sunnah and salat, the sunnah is when you want to start the long qiyam, to warm up with 2 rak'at. And then move into qiyam al-layl. The salat is the sila with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as you say Allahu Akbar, you started talking to Allah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith al-Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نُصْفَيْنِ. I have split the salat between me and my slave to two, which is here the Fatiha. So when you are after Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, تَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ تَعَالَ جَدُّكَ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. And you're praising Allah before you start. Then, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then Allah replies to you. And if all the 1.5 billion Muslims at one time stood up at 1 second, all of them said Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen in 1 second at one time, the response comes to each one of them individually by Allah. How? Doesn't He sustain them each one individually? Then He give him each one of them individually. He can respond to them each one individually. He says, Hamadani abdi, my slave has praised me. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and so on, the hadith. You're living within that hadith. You're living within the salat. Then you bow. Or you're reciting the ayat, then you bow. Then you prostrate to Allah. You're putting the highest thing that Allah gave you, which is your head and your forehead and the nose. Down on earth, rub it in the nose. What stopped a lot of the Qurayshis from becoming Muslim? We do not want to rub our nose in the ground like Muhammad. He rubbed his nose in the ground 5 times a day. What a humiliation, according to them. Yeah. And according to the modern, some of the kuffar today who says that, they mock us, we rub our nose in the sand, in the ground. But we're prepared to rub more than that, whatever we can, fi sabilillah. You are the only, notice this, you are the only creature from the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apart from the angels and the jinn, you are, as from the humans, one who worship Allah as He's supposed to be worshipped. You are the only one who prostrate to Allah. There's no one other than the Muslim who worship Allah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, at his time, where there was Christianity, Judaism, all different religions, what did he say? About the Isaba. Isaba means not a gang. Of course, Isaba in the slang means a gang. But in the formal Arabic, it means a group of people. A small number of people. They're called Isaba. Which they have one thing in common. He said, إِن تَهْلَكَ هَذِهِ الْعِصَابَ لَن تُعْبَدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ الْآنِ أو بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. He said, if this group, this Isaba, which is the companion, he's making dua to Allah. He said, if they were to be destroyed and die, no one would worship you on this earth anymore. Because they were the only one who truly worshipping Allah as Allah pleased with and Allah wants. You are the only one who worship Allah like the angels. You are the only one who worship Allah like the rest of the prophets, like Nuh and Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub and Asbat and Isa, Musa and Isa, all of them. وأيوب ويونس وهارون وسليمان وداود. All of them worshipped Allah like that. Sure. You are the inheritor of all those. And one of the main symbols is the salat. Two stories happened with me personally. I met a person in Wyong. Probably he's dead now. In the late 90s. He saw some brothers from Jamaat Tabligh wearing white, praying on the side of the road. He approached him. He said, what religion are you? They said, we're Muslims. They gave him an introduction about Islam. He was in his 70s. They gave him an introduction about Islam. He said, I love the way you pray. I want to pray like you. I want to become a Muslim. So they said, jump in the van with us. We're going to the masjid. And from there he became a Muslim. I met him after that. Another brother who's a converted to Islam. I asked him, I like to ask the converts this question, what bring you to Islam? Because see, the converts, they have this, or they call them the reverts, they have this views, things they see in Islam, we born Muslim, we don't see it. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't opened on our eyes. Some aspects of Islam, they see it, we don't see it. I said to him, what did you like about Islam? What attracted you to Islam? How did you know that Islam is the truth? He said, I know Islam is the truth because of the way we pray. There's no one prays like us. Young man, Australian, white Australian. And then yet, we have Muslims have the audacity not to pray or to neglect the salat. Abadan. Don't ever think that you can be a good Muslim. I'm not saying if you don't pray. No, I'm saying if you neglect the salat. You're not a good Muslim. Don't lie to yourself. You're a very bad Muslim. And listen to Ibn Mas'ud what he said, radiallahu anhu. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe to the ones who pray. Not the ones who don't pray. The ones who pray. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. The ones who sahun of the salat. Why? Because need to interpret sahun according to the understanding of the companions. So sahun could mean abandoning the salat, or could mean neglecting the salat. Ibn Mas'ud, it was said to him, is it the ones they abandon the salat? He said, no, these ones who pray, but they don't pray on time, and they don't value the salat. He said, the other ones, as for the other ones, they're kuffar. The Quran is not talking to them anymore. He did not say that part, I said it. But he said, radiallahu anhu, as for the other ones, there's a kuffar. That's what he said, radiallahu anhu. The matter was clear to Ibn Mas'ud. So here, the threat is for the one who pray. For the one who pray. And that's why it was many times narrated, many ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, I like from your dunya three. We, modern Muslim, we like the first two and we forget the third one. Well, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, what is it? The women, the perfume, and وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. And not the woman, يعني وَالْعِيَاثُ بِاللَّهِ, don't go far away. The woman, يعني he liked to get married. More than one wife. Why not? Sulaiman was 100 and I think Dawood had 300 wives. طيب. So if the Prophet ﷺ got 9 or 12 or different opinion, it's nothing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب. And by the way, this is a side note. أُوتِيَ كَمَا يَقُولُ إِبْنَ الْقَيِّمْ فِي زَادِ الْمَعَادِ. Ibn al-Qayyim said the Prophet ﷺ, أُوتِي, given the power of 10 men in jihad and in with the wife. And in narrations, كَانَ يَطُوفُ عَلَى نِسَائِهِ فِي لَيْلَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. He used to go sleep with all his women in one night. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So يعني that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not you. So when he says حُبَّبَ عَلَيْهِ النِّسَاءِ, it's not you, ya habibi. And the second one, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the perfume. Abu Bakr said radiallahu anhu, and Ibn Hazm narrated it from him, that if you spend third of your wealth on perfume, this is not israf. طيب. And the last one, he said, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي, the apple of my eyes in the salat. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a problem came to him, he used to stand up for the salat. Umar radiallahu anhu, when the problem came to him, he used to stand up to the salat. And the mas'ala comes. How the solution comes. How many of us, when there is a problem in our life, we just quit everything and just stand Allahu Akbar. Khalas. That's why, what is Salat al-Istikhara? We have this big misconception about seeing dream and flying in the air and I don't know what. And before you sleep, you do the Istikhara and then you don't talk to anyone and then you make the dua. No, ya akhi, this is all myth. Salat al-Istikhara is, you are asking Allah, I am not decided whether I should buy this or that. Oh Allah, guide me. And you go buy it. Khalas. If you find it difficult, then don't buy it. That's it. Why, Tayyib? You're connecting with Allah and Allah will guide you. So, as you see the salat, look at the brother before he comes to Islam. How is he? If he says to another brother, he says, okay bro, I'll see you 3 o'clock in Liverpool. But after he becomes a Muslim in his salat and he prays and he starts praying, he says, okay bro, I'll see you after Asr. What's the difference? Because his life now is revolving around what? As-salat. Okay, bro, can we have a meeting with you? Yes, after Fajr, inshallah, I have an hour free. Before, yeah, I'll see you 7 o'clock. Now, the Muslim, his timing is according to the Salat. His life is around the Salat. My lunch is after Salat al-Dhuhr. My breakfast is before Fajr or after Fajr. That is how the life of the Muslim revolves, everything in it around the Salat. He lives the Salat. So, from now on, we want to take care of our Salat. Taib, I just want to read to you something very quickly about the person who does not pray. What is the best way we can give him da'wah to the Salat? Very important, ya akhwa. Very important when you give da'wah to the people, especially about Salat, to understand their situation. It is no good to start with the tarheeb first. You find the Quran mathani. Tarheeb and tarheeb. Tarheeb to excite and motivate. And tarheeb to make him fear the punishment of Allah. We have certain brothers who, if they want to call someone for the salat, say, Ya akhi, did you know if you quit the salat you become a kafir? A'udhu billah. You know the ruling is a kafir, you're a kafir now. Didn't you know that? Go leave your wife, go leave your children. Regardless whether he's a kafir or not, the point here is, what is your aim? Are your aim is to slice him apart, to send him to Jahannam, or your aim to take him to Jannah? If you aim to take him to Jannah, then you want to tell him things that bring him to the Salat. As we will talk and examine the evidence, which is the correct opinion, by the end of the day, the maximum you can do, even if you believe whomever abandoned the Salat is a kafir, the maximum you can do is apply it on yourself, your wife and your children, your household. Because you're not a qadi. When you become a qadi, judge, then you can say, this person is a kafir. And then you will order the istitaba, the process of taking him to repent from his kufr. But for you, you're not a qadi. Yes, you know the ruling. You don't. If you believe he's a kafir, you do not pray on that person. And if you inherit from him, you don't inherit from him anymore. You say, I can't take his money. I show you then. Now you make him a Muslim. You make him Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because he's going to miss out on half a million. He's going to take all these rulings. If someone comes to your daughter, he wants to marry her, he doesn't pray, tell him, no, mate, thank you very much. I'm looking for a Muslim. Put the hukum on yourself and your family and you move with it. But for you to go out and expend passing on fatawi, that's not your business. That is where we need to know where we stand. But when we give da'wah, what is our aim from the da'wah? My aim is not to show the people I'm better than them. And my aim is not to pass on ruling and judgment and make it takfir on people. My aim is to bring people to paradise and to defeat the shaitan. And to reduce the number of people who are going to be allies of the shaitan. That's my aim. Hence I need to speak to him in a way so I can bring him for the salat. First, what is the first important thing is to remind him that he is what? The salat is obligation. And it is the most important part of Islam after the shahadatayn. And to tell him how it was revealed on the Prophet ﷺ. You need also to remind him with the virtues of salat. And that the salat is the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to ask you about. And remember, ya akhi, that if the salat is good, everything else is accepted. And if the salat not done very well, everything else is rejected. Meaning, let's say you fasted Ramadan perfectly. You went Hajj with 100% halal money. And you done Hajj to the T according to the Sunnah. And you actually went out of your way to help others. But you come back and you keep praying the shonky salat you pray. Or you done pray or whatever. What happens? On the day of judgment you come, stand in front of Allah, the salat is not good. Yalla. You and everything you've done in Jahannam. Lizalik, the sign, the true sign is for someone who preserved the salat. Also, remind him that between the salat, the minor sins are expiated. Yani you prayed Maghrib, and then you did a minor sin. You prayed again, that minor sin is expiated. As long as you don't become consistent on the minor sin. And in every sajda, Allah elevates your status and one step and remove erase one sin. This way, when you remember all the fada'il, and where can I find fada'il al-salat? You can go to At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib lil-Mundiri. You can go to Riyadh al-Salihin. Are many books, there's some specific books are written about fada'il al-salat. Learn a few ahadith, even if you don't learn them word by word in English, just memorize the virtues and then speak about the virtues. And tell him what they are missing out. Tell them what they are missing out if they don't pray. The sweetness of the salat. Again, after that, after you spoke about the fada'il, then you take it a further step. You're talking about, we spoke about the targhib, you start talking about the targhib, the threat. That, the simple thing you can say, if you don't want to go through the difference of opinion amongst the fuqaha about abandoning the salat, say, ya akhi. Let's say, tell him there is two groups of ulama. Some ulama say, whomever out of laziness does not pray, he's not a Muslim. What does it mean, not a Muslim? Yani your wife becomes haram for you. Yani we can't pray on you, we can't wash you, we can't bury you with the Muslims. You're not a Muslim. And some group ulama, they said, you're a Muslim, but you're practicing in huge majesty. Tab, I'm not going to tell you which opinion I am on, but I'm going to tell you this. Why are you putting yourself in a situation, in a place that the ulama are different whether you are Muslim or not? And you are in a spot that some scholars saying you're a Muslim and some scholars saying you're not a Muslim. Your Islam is doubtful amongst the ulama. Remind them, ya akhi, that delaying the salat, even if they pray, delaying the salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it as a huge major sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned to you, what Ibn Mas'ud said, radiyallahu anhu, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Maryam, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. There's a generation came after them, they neglected the salat, and they followed the desires, and they will face punishment. So this is a reminder. And then, if you find yourself, you get emotional very quickly. We have some brothers, mashallah, their hands speak before their tongue. Then just go give them lectures. There are lectures there in the hundreds in Arabic and in English. Please listen to this. You know someone coming to your house, play it in the background. Ask Allah. And make dua for them, see? Make dua for them. And also, if he is a close member in your family, if abandoning them and forsaking them brings benefit, which is a lot of the time in these days don't bring benefit, but if you can, don't talk to him until he prays. If your own son, one of them continuously play and the second one does not pray, tell him, look, you give that one a gift and tell him towards the end, when you don't find a solution, tell him, I'm not giving you this gift unless you start praying. That's all right. Give him money, give him lollies, give him whatever. Give him whatever excites them so they can pray. There's no issue. Make them love the salat. And believe it or not, ya akhi, when you stand up for the salat in your house, even the sunan, make your children pray behind you. They automatically come to pray behind you. And if they little girls, they go grab the hijab or whatever, and they pray behind you. By time you reach, they reach 15 or 12, khalas, they're praying. They know the salat is part of their day, part of their routine. These are very important to very important key points. Tab, how do I gain khushu' in the salat? Of course, I had a presentation that I've done on a Friday, one Friday after Fajr. We can, inshallah, redo the presentation for you. But simple, how do I do khushu' in the salat? First, make wudu' properly. And pray to rak'at. Now, don't pray in a room where there is children jumping and televisions going on and toys in front of you and everyone jumping behind you. Now pray in a room quiet. Of course, don't go like Ahlul Bid'ah turning off the lights and it doesn't require that. And some people, they make khushu' so hard that you can never ever attain khushu' in your life. Akhi, this is wrong. Khushu' is easy to attain, to be attained. Some people, they say, you have to concentrate and takbir as if the Kaaba is in front of you and imagine the Kaaba. No, that is all wrong. Some people say the khushu' in the salat, you have to think of nothing. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to pray and look waiting for the messenger to come with the news. Their companions, they are Imamul Khashi'in. They used to pray in the Salat, and Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to pray and watch the army from attack. One of the companions is on duty watching yani the army, not watching 7 o'clock news. That if someone attacking the camp while he's praying. So, Al-Khushu' ya ikhwa is about doing the Salat properly. Of course, looking down is better than looking towards, but if you are watching as a ibadah, that watching is a ibadah, then it can be done. Because watching and protecting the Muslims with your eyes, the eyes that doesn't see fire, one of them is an eye that was protecting the Muslims. So standing, protecting the Muslims and you in the Salat, there's nothing wrong. This is part of khushu'. The khushu', ya ikhwa, comes, I know it's going to be hard for the brothers, is for you to start understanding Arabic. That's it. Reflecting on the ayat. Reflecting on the ayat of the Quran. The Salat becomes boring when you recite the same surah all the time. قُلْهُ اللَّهُ حَدَ اللَّهُ سَلَّمْ يَدْوَنَ مِنَ ذَلَمِ كَلَكَ فَرْحَدٍ. That's not khushu'. You have to always try to learn a new ayat so you can use them in the Salat. Then you are looking forward for the Salat. This is first. So, you make your wudu, you enter the Salat with the proper takbir, Allahu Akbar. You try not to think of the dunya. And when the whisper of shaitan comes, part of khushu' is to defeat it. That is part of khushu' in the Salat. You haven't lost your khushu' in the Salat. As some would tell you, if you get an idea in your head, you're not khashi' in the Salat anymore. You lost the khushu'. Now you didn't lose the khushu'. You know why? Because you're human. You can't liberate your mind completely. So ideas would come to your head while you're praying, but far of the khushu' is to declare war against it and remove it. So, this is how Ibn Mas'ud described the Salat of the Prophet ﷺ. He used to stop at the ayat and prolong. Yamud. Yani. How do I read the Fatiha? Normally the brothers read the Fatiha like this. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين كان عبد الله كان استعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين امين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله احد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد bang to the sujood سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم what's this that's not Quran maybe the salat is not accepted the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the حديث المسيء في صلاته the one who did not pray properly the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم what did he say he did not say To him, your prayer is accepted, but no reward. صلي فإنك لم ولم للنفي أداة للنفي لم تصلي. Pray, indeed you did not pray. So repeat the salat. So sometimes we could not be praying, and then what happens when you meet Allah on the day of judgment and you did not pray? Allah المستعان. So هكذا كان الصلاة عليه الصلاة والسلام يقرأ الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم you can prolong more الرحمن الرحيم أربع حركات no problem two حركات no problem الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين and so on then you come to the Quran you read it slowly either with the tartil or al-hadad, يعني, but slowly, so you can understand the meaning. As-sad comes out, as-sad, qaf comes out, qaf, ahkam al-tajweed. يعني Allah said to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to us, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا يعني you recite the Qur'an in tartil. Slow, not too slow and not too fast, and tartila and reflect. Stop. Ayah that you're affected by it, nothing wrong to come back and say it again. Even in the silent salat, some brothers close their lips. No, the silent salat, you have to raise your voice until you can hear yourself. And in the sunan, you can raise your voice, yahi, is no problem. If you want to practice your recitation in the sunan, there's no problem. Once you read like this, and don't haste with the fatiha. Sometimes I stand next to some brothers, wallahi by time, yahi, I don't know how they pray. I haven't finished مالك يوم الدين he's in the sujood when did he get the time to read even والعصر الله المستعان يعني I'll be reading like this بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين By the time I get to Malik Yawm al-Din, he's in sujood. Bro, what has happened there? Wallahi, يعني, if you're praying the salah, just say you can, yalla, get rid of it. That's, wal-iyadu billah. لا يا أخي لا يا أخي لا هذه الصلاة هذه شأنها عظيم. Very important. The companions used to wait for, we learn in Salat al Jama'ah, they used to wait for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to turn up. Sometimes Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, come out يعني, from your house. He waits the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the people to come. The women are slept and we slept and we tired, the children are slept, come out and lead us for the salah, then the Prophet will come out. Nahna, we put the salat what? 7:30, for example, the Isha. 7:29, the brother is standing up as the Imam if he didn't even come. Yahi, wait, what are you asking? You are in the salat, wait. No. But hakatha, nahna, ala ajal, everything has to be McDonald's in our life, even the salat. Quick. La, yahi, la. When it comes to the salat, salat. So you read the Fatiha, you read then afterwards, surah, 2, 3 surah, a few ayat, it depends what you want to pray, whatever. In the farida, you only use what you are strong with. In the nafil, the ulama, they said you can, yani supererogatory, extra salat, you can practice what you have memorized. Yani imagine you memorized the 3 ayat today, you prayed them in the sunnah al-fajr. 3 ayat for first rak'ah and second rak'ah, I repeated them. And the sunnah of dhuhr. That's how many rak'ah? 6 rak'ah. And if you pray a couple of rak'ah before asr, no problem. 4 kaman, no problem. طيب. You recite them. By the time you're praying for Isha, you already memorize them and they're done. See? And then you pray with them in the farida. You change the farida now. You're adding more different ayat. You need to make it interesting. Why? And reflect. Read the translation of the ayat. That's why you know what they mean. Keep reading the translation until you understand them. You finished recitation. Then Allahu Akbar, and you go to the tasbih, to the sujood. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Now we will talk about the fiqh issue, but I'm talking about the khushu'. You practice the sunnah, your back is straight, looking down, you made the tasbih. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, until your heart feels peace. Up again. Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa laka alhamd hamdan kathiran, and so on. Memorize the dua. In the sujood, prostration, now you know you are closer to Allah. You make your tasbih, and then you open up with the dua. Imagine inta you are down in your head on the ground and you're asking Allah. This is my own reflection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the angels ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in wonder, when Allah said, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, qalu ataj'alu fiha man yufsidu fiha wa yasfiku dima, wa nahnu nusabbihu bihamdika wa nuqaddisu lak, qala inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamu. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am going to put an inheritor on this earth, Khalifa. The angels replied, Ya Rab, you're going to put in it somebody who, yani, group of people who will shed the blood and that, and cause destruction and corruption. قال Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قال, إني أعلم ما لا تعلم. Out of those corrupt people who will cause mischief and blood, they're going to be a group of people who prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love Allah. With all the desires, they will still love Allah and prostrate to Allah. That is, subhanallah, that's some reflections. If I am right, then alhamdulillah. And if I'm wrong, then it's from me and the shaitan. And if I'm right, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. So the pinnacle of ibadah is the sujood. Then, how can you ask Allah about something in the sujood, wealthy, you sincere, and He doesn't give it to you? Yani, what? Allah is Al-Kareem, He will give it to you no matter what it is. And if He never gave it to you, ma'anata, He saved it for you in the Jannah. You're even better. And in the ahadith, the ayah, what does it say? About the companions, they are in the Tawrat, سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أثر السجود. The description of the Ummah of Muhammad in the Tawrat by what? بأثار السجود. They, the resemblance of the sujood on their face. Subhanallah, you see the person who prays and he prolongs in the sujood. Watch how his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a strange light in his face. Even if he is very, very black skinned, Allah will put the light in his face. You'd look at them, you say, Subhanallah, this person has a light in his face. You'd know that this person is from As-Sajideen. Allah many times in the Quran praised وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. That's why the ulama, they say, if someone does not memorize a lot of Quran, when he does Qiyamul Layl, should he repeat, for example, what he memorized? Or should he prolong the sujood and the ruku'ah? They said, no, for him prolong the sujood and the ruku'ah. Why? Because he doesn't memorize a lot. But if someone is memorized a lot and he wants to revise the Quran, for him is to stand up and recite more. The ulama, where they went to. And some ulama said, no. If someone, he has sinned a lot in his life, the sujood is better. Because the sujood expiates the sin faster than the recitation of the Quran. So this ibadah of sujood, and it doesn't harm you if you say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la 500 times, 600 times, 700 times. The companion radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, when they described him, they said when he was in sujood, the bird used to land on his back. Why? The bird doesn't land on something that is moving. It lands on something like a rock. So it's like a big brick or a big rock in his sujood. The bird would land, would think he's a rock, radiallahu anhu, from the length of his sujood. And what did Allah describe Dawood as, radiallahu anhu? Collapsed down on his face, sajid to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you sit and you recite the tashahud, at-tahiyyatu lillahi, was-salawat, طيبات. التحيات, the salutes to Allah, and the praising, and the good. Wallahi ya ikhwa, repeat it many times regularly. And then towards the end, and also, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. Inta imagine, and then when you say, assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. In the tahiyyat, when you say assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, just reflect ala, the one you're giving salam to whom? Alayna. And to whom? Ibadillahi salihin. 1.5 billion Muslim on the face of the earth. Let's say third of them is ibadullahi salihin. They're good. Salih, yani he prays, he stays away from the haram. Let's say 10%, ya akhi. 10% from the 1.5 billion that are salihin. Yani how many? 150 million. You are giving salam to 150 million. How much throwing the salam get the reward for? 10 hasanat? You are giving salam. That's if 10% times 10, this is just reward by that. That's why think about it when you're saying it. Shuf subhanAllah. The salat, something, the reward from the salat, apart from yani the reward that you know, the reward is enormous in abundance. And then you're making dua from the fitnatil mahya. Remember, the fitna in this dunya, fitnatil mamat. Imagine five times at least a day, you're asking Allah from fitnatil mamat, from the fitna of death. That includes what? When the shaitan comes to test you, to try to lure you to Jahannam with him, and when the angels of death comes, you're already asking Allah for the last 50 years of your life, time 5, time 365, asking him to protect you from fitnatil mamat. If it is answered once, and said, once from all this time, Allah said, I answered this now, you are saved. Something ajib, the salat. Something beyond our, this is just the virtues of the salat. Inshallah, from these virtues, ya ikhwah, from the importance of the salat, At least we are motivated now to learn this chapter of Salat and take care of it as you learnt, alhamdulillah. And I am very proudful of you that, alhamdulillah, every one of you was serious to understand and learn the chapter of Tahara and asking serious questions. It is important that we take care of the chapter of Salat, no matter how long it is. It is one of the longest chapters in the fiqh, but it is the most important chapter of the fiqh. Because the financial contracts, if you don't learn them, it's alright. You can ask a alim, he will tell you the answer, because you're not, unless you are specialized in this business, you work in an Islamic bank. The chapter of zakat, if you don't own a business like me and you, and one of us has $500, he thinks he's rich, alhamdulillah. Chapter of zakat, you don't need to know much about it then if you don't have money. But the chapter of salat, you are practicing it. And also the chapter of hajj, you learn when you go to hajj with the sheikh teaches you step by step, because you're never going to get your hand around it. So the chapter of salat and the chapter of siyam, these are important for the guy who doesn't own a business. When you own a business, you must learn the chapter of zakat. So you know how to pay your, or you have a lot of money, or you have better money, you need to learn. But apart from that, if you're a poor Muslim, like most of us are, you have the Salat and you have the Siyam. You do them well. If you are a student of knowledge, then you need to learn everything else. But if you just want to escape, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأَدْخِنَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازِ. If you just want to escape, you need to learn the Tahara, you need to name the Salat and the Siyam. And when you start earning money, then you start learning about the Zakat. Becomes more obligatory on you. So ya ikhwah, take care of these few chapters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us and you successful in this dunya and hereafter. Whatever I said correct is from Allah, and whatever is wrong is from me and the shaitan. Subhanakallah bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.